Okay, welcome back, Marty Ozinga. He's been our guest in this entire series, doing a fabulous job, a visionary, a true entrepreneur, a servant at heart. Really enjoying my time with you today, Marty. Whenever I get an opportunity to meet entrepreneurs, you know, businessmen of your stature, I try to really embrace and take in what you're saying, because what he is, you know, describing to us and displaying is, you know, how to truly be successful, how to really do it right and maintain your faith in God, and through your faith in God, let Him work through whatever it is that He has in store for you. So, again, thank you for being here. This has been a great time. So let's dive in to Unit 9. You know, how do you balance risk versus reward in your business overall?
Business, almost by nature, involves a fair amount of risk. I mean, there's the capital financial that gets put in place, and there's an expectation that whatever is used to provide a service or product, that there'll be enough interest in it and enough interest to provide the income to earn that money back. It's not automatic. You don't know that for sure. And you have to use your best judgment, your education, your experience, and everything else to calculate and evaluate those kinds of investments, the risk that it represents, and also the return. Now, the return isn't always just simply about money. It's what other benefits come if this product or this service is well received. And depending on what it is, I mean, if it's food, people are fed. If it's health care, people have better health care. So those are obvious benefits, regardless of whether you make a lot of money doing it or not.
So you don't measure reward solely in profits or revenues. You measure reward as it being socially responsible and beneficial too.
Absolutely, there's those elements. Now, don't misunderstand, as I said before, the profit ingredient is an absolute necessity, because you'll be finished shortly if you don't make profit. So then you're done.
Well, I'm so glad that you keep bringing that up, and I keep phrasing that question the way that I do so that you can expand upon how important the profit piece is.
Yeah. Well, there's some people who are so focused on their definition of ministry that in some circles, profit almost is a dirty word. It's like, you shouldn't be motivated by profit. I got to laugh at that, because you better not go into business if you're not motivated to be profitable, because you'll go out of business just as fast as you went in it. And the money you spent and put in it, the effort, the time, everything else, all goes down the drain. It all gets lost. So profit is an absolutely necessary ingredient. Don't go into a business unless you expect and desire and work hard to make a profit. Now, there's a lot of other good reasons for providing a product or a service to people besides the profit, in addition to the profit, not instead of the profit. And sometimes people get misguided ideas of ministry. Like, ministry is not a profitable thing. It has nothing to do with making money. And I laugh at that, because in business is a ministry. And the service and product you provide for people are essential. I mean, even something as simple as concrete. What building can you build without a foundation? What highway can you build without concrete?
Unless it's floating.
You know, but in order to do so, you have to be profitable. So you're benefiting the community and providing, if it's a good product, in our case, good concrete, You're providing lasting houses and roads and so forth, which are all good for the community. And in addition, you make money so that tomorrow you can do it again. And repeatedly, sometimes for generations, as in our case.
Continual reinvestment.
Yes.
Inside. Now, can you explain how the reinvestment piece, because spurs, you know, economic growth, can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Well, as we reinvest, if we buy another truck, now we have to have a truck driver. We have to have a plant to load that truck. We have to have more customers to use that truck to deliver the concrete. So what winds up happening is the reinvestment that translates into growth provides all those things. And as those things multiply, the wealth and the prosperity of the community at large multiplies. And the standard of living goes up. The benefits of living in that community go up. Generally speaking, and this is an interesting fact, in the affluent, wealthy countries, we wind up with cleaner air. We wind up with better medical treatment. We wind up with better safety and security. All sorts of things go up. And the quality of life goes up. Wealth and prosperity creates improved quality of life. And that's a good thing. And we should work to make that happen.
In our previous conversation, or one of our conversations that we've had today, did you say that you just got back from Uganda?
Yes, I was just in Uganda, Africa.
Very cool.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
So how can we spur development in African nations that, you know, help them grow and experience the same prosperity that you were just speaking of?
Well, we were there, interestingly enough, for a multiple reasons, but they parallel the same reasons we are in business in the U.S. We were there to take a look at the industry that we're in, but what state of affairs are in that industry in Uganda. Can we transplant the knowledge and experience that we've had in the U.S. to make an investment in that country with our expertise and knowledge from what our experience has been? That was one reason for going there. Another reason was there's a lot of poverty there. There's a lot of difficult situations there. And we have resources that we set aside to help alleviate poverty, to provide shelter, to provide food, and to provide security and safety for people. And we were invited to go and take a look at a couple of projects that do those kinds of things as well. So we were there as business people. We were there as missionary ministers looking to do social service type benefits. And then the third thing we were there, we were invited to go and speak to a group of people who are entrepreneurs, who want to start their own businesses. And we were asked to speak to inspire and encourage people to consider this. And that was really fun.
How was the reception on that?
Very good. I mean, lots of people came, lots of enthusiasm and excitement. And it's very fun, in my opinion, to see young people very excited about willing to work hard and willing to put in an investment, but all for the idea of, number one, honoring and glorifying God, and number two, serving the communities that they live in. And so those three things, and looking back now, I see that's the same thing we do here. We just went over there to be an encouragement and to possibly be able to invest in some of these things.
That would be fantastic if you could get a foothold there and mm-hmm. really start to help,
Well, the folks that we met with there thought so, too.
I'm sure they did. They were ready for you to invest that day, I'm sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So can you, just to change topics a little bit, you know, we've been talking about a lot of positives in, as far as entrepreneurship is concerned, but we all know that not everything in business is always positive. We're going to have some failures along the way too, but I think that in my personal experience, the failures that I've encountered in my entrepreneurial journey has only made me better. Can you describe maybe some type of maybe particular failure you've encountered that you've been able to bounce back from well and learn from it?
Yeah, I mean, you always learn from both success and failure. And we've invested, I jokingly say that I've probably lost almost as much money as I've made in my lifetime. Thankfully, I'm a little bit ahead in the game, so I'm still dressing decently and have plenty of food to eat and have some money to keep going and doing more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But to be afraid of failure, to not look for opportunities to do something different, better than it's ever been done before, and to be afraid of taking a risk in the attempt to do so is, in a way, is kind of a disappointing way to approach life. In other words, there's no guarantees about hardly anything. There's no guarantee you don't walk out the door and try and cross the street and get run over. Now, you don't expect that to happen. But the fact of the matter is, making an attempt at making a difference, at making an attempt at doing something that hasn't been done before, is exciting whether you succeed or you fail. And it, you should look at it as such. It should be fun, it should be interesting, and it should be worthwhile. If you fail, you learn lessons in that process. But in the Bible, I think it's 2 Corinthians, it says sometimes we get knocked down, beat up, frustrated, but not defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I've experienced that all my life. I've done all kinds of things that some were successful and some weren't. But you get knocked down, you learn some lessons, and then you get back up, you brush yourself off, and you say, okay, next, what should we try now?
How has your faith helped you deal with those failures and your ability to, you know, bounce back, per se?
Well, it's at the core of my faith is the fact that I've already won the game. I'm blessed beyond anything I could ever imagine, because you start with an eternal perspective. I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Streets are paved with gold. I'm going to have a mansion.
That's right.
I got it made. Okay? How do I lose? I can't lose. In fact, the only thing I can lose is opportunities that I don't pursue. Because you usually don't get a second chance at some of that stuff. So, again, I'm not being flippant about being careless or wasteful or ignorant about reality. You got to be more than just a dreamer. You got to have a realistic, sensible approach to things. But not be afraid, so afraid of failure that you're paralyzed.
That's right.
You got to be willing to say, I've thought this through. I'm not stupid. I've given it to God. I feel that He's calling me to go ahead with this. I'm going to do it. And then I expect God to show up.
Amen. That's faith in action right there.
And if He doesn't, or I don't succeed, I go, you know, God's got a lesson in this for me.
That's right.
And I'll be better at whatever I try to do next because of it.
Bold action and faith that doesn't waver, and continual prayer will keep you in God's favor and moving you in God's will. And whatever venture you take on, whether it be in business or personal or whatever it is that you are, your endeavors are. So keep God in the center. stay focused on the task and rely on Him.
That's exactly right.
Okay, well, we'll see you in the next video for Unit 10.